the green light.
Holding
nothing's
pattern.
Changing.
We're circling the airport here.
Do you and think we have circled by the airport? My God, have we been circling the airport?
We've been dumping fuel for weeks here.
What's the thing that these people freak out about and say, look in the clouds, like look at what those airplanes are dropping?
Oh, my God.
What's
are
that
you
stuff
serious
called?
Right now?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, they think that it's called chemtrails.
That's something Aaron Rodgers believes in.
There's at least one Pittsburgh sports media member that posts about them regularly.
So that's what he thinks that's going on here.
Yes.
Well, I'm saying no, but I'm saying that's what you're describing, is that you have these planes just dropping chemtrails on us.
It's the exhaust from the plane's very large engines.
Okay. That's your story.
Please. I'm begging you, don't do this to me.
Do you think tonight at the Washington County...
if you say chemtrails...
At the Washington County Fair, if I just want to make small talk, I'm like,
if you,
where do you guys come down to this whole chemtrail
scenario? If you loudly say something where like the one word that's audible is chemtrails...
Will
somebody
I have a captive audience?
Somebody, like at least one person out of like 20 in the radius will go, come again? And want to talk to you about them. That, I believe the plot with chemtrails is they are like dosing us with chemicals to make us docile and easily controllable.
Who's they? Big government?
Illuminati. Now you're into the Illuminati stage of things. Yes, the deep state maybe?
Mm.
You should call in to like Dunlap's show during one of our breaks under an assumed name, Ricky, or you know, Rich from Richardsville, Richardson, Richmond, and just start talking about the old chemtrails.
Should I go to my old man voice?
I think that these chemtrails.
George in Washington, first up tonight. Hey, George.
Bob, in 1923, Charlie Grimm had a 30-game hitting streak for the Pirates. Do you think that Brian Reynolds is going to break that record?
Well, the way he's swinging the bat now, yes, I expect that to continue, although it gets harder as the days go on.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pi Trainer. Hold on, let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better. Bob, what are you doing taking George in Washington? It's Pony.
I know.
How are
it's
you falling for this again? What is going on here?
You know, what do you want me to do? It's hard enough to do this.
He did not know it was me.
Of course he didn't.
Donnie's loving it in there.
I'm amazed that he let it go on this long. The second you said, hold on, let me put in my wooden teeth so you can understand me better, that'd have been it.
People are messaging me and saying it's very odd that ESPN is talking a lot of Steelers, but the thing that they're doing is debating Fields versus Wilson and who should be the starter. Do they think that that's a Steelers topic that we want to hear about instead of Ayuk?
Do they think that by talking Steelers, they can be primed in case a deal happens?
What do you mean?
Like, hey, we're talking Steelers, and if an Ayuk trade actually does finally get done, boom, we move right into that.
Do you think there's a better chance Brandon Ayuk is on the Steelers or Justin Fields starts week one for the Steelers?
Ayuk.
Same. Do you think it's particularly close?
No.
Me neither.
I don't think there's... I would put the chances that Fields... Like, let's just take injury out of the equation for Wilson here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's healthy. I put the chances of Fields being the opening day starter, week one starter, under 5%. I honestly don't even think it's close. And I don't think him fumbling twice did him any favors. Because we know no matter how physically gifted you are or how infatuated with you Mike Tomlin was coming out of college, the man hates it when you put Piggy on the ground. He hates turnovers more than almost anything in life. And Justin Fields, I know they didn't result in turnovers, but Justin Fields putting it on the ground twice cannot have helped him.
Also, there's no going back. If you go with Fields,
Wilson's done.
I can't see a situation where you'd want to quickly bench Fields to go to the much older quarterback. But if the much older quarterback is struggling or just not getting it done, then you turn things over to the 25-year-old and it's like, all right, kid, maybe you're our quarterback of the future. We gave Russell Wilson one more shot for the league minimum. It didn't work. That's, you know, nothing really gained, nothing really lost there with Wilson, which I guess you could say about Fields, but unless Fields really blows you away, wouldn't you rather have I'm trying to think of that game that you would play at the bowling alley or the arcade where it had the claw with the animals in it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you rather have two shots to grab one than one?
Correct, yeah. You don't want to do the... There's only one way where you make this a one-shot deal and its field starts week one. Otherwise, it's kind of business as usual. Wilson gets his chance. He's the veteran. He's frankly had the, coming off of the better year. And he gets his, you know, he gets to do his thing and then see if it's good enough. Man, big trade in the NHL.
Well, don't, let's not get, let's
no,
hold that.
No, I know.
That.
I just saw it, Pony, and I'm going to only say, I'm going to wet the whistle here.
Yeah, let's not.
Very exciting.
Let's make sure that people are pulled over before we get into the details of that one. Tavon Austin retiring. That's now on social media, the former West Virginia star. He's one of those guys that when this new stupid dynamic kickoff rule announcement came down, who are the players that would have thrived or would have been more coveted with this? We haven't really seen it yet, but in theory, better chance for guys to make big plays in the return game.
Yes.
He's one of them that springs to mind.
He's a guy who's a true gadget player who I think what people don't realize is it's hard to get, you know, kind of gadget type guys truly assimilated into an offense. By the way, did you see this tweet about the new kickoff rule in the first week of the preseason?
Who sent it out?
John Breach, who is, I think, the son of Jim Breach.
Verified account?
Yeah. CBS Sports, John Breach.
Okay.
Isn't his dad Jim Breach, the kicker?
I don't know.
I think this is the first I've ever heard
of the guy.
Anyway, 82%.
I've been too busy following this Benjamin Ehrlich now, who's telling us about Connor Hayward and...
That guy has
him
to be
holding
kidding.
Up this trade.
Has to be kidding. It's got to be a joke. Anyway, Breach, 11,400 followers. Good with you. Follower count. Good enough
How many?
To go with. 11.4.
Still not as many as Don.
Okay. But still. 82% of kicks were returned this past week of the preseason. I don't know if he is using, for this number, 2023's overall percentage or the week one of the preseason percentage, but it was 22% in 2023. So you had almost a quadrupling of the number of kicks that were returned. Four returns of more than 45 yards. Three, quote, super touchbacks, which come out to the 40-yard line. And then the Chiefs having a safety because a guy didn't understand one of the finer point rules. More returns, that's what they want.
But the returns aren't interesting so far, like a couple of them.
Yet, better players go out there to return kicks. Even with better players covering them, I think you will see some more returns that are good. But, I mean, they wanted, it's now instead of 2 out of every 10 kicks basically are getting run back, 8 out of every 10, and presumably no major kickoff injuries to speak of that we at least heard of, that's probably what they want.
Unless the Steelers are waiting for practices where fans can't show up and videotape from the stands, and reporters aren't technically allowed to talk about what they're seeing, unless that's what they're waiting for, it doesn't even sound like Fields is going to be involved as a gadget player. There's been none of that. You know, the kickoff thing that Jaylen Warren speculated about hasn't come to fruition. Like, they're just treating him like a straight-up quarterback, Chris. And if they're going to go with Russell Wilson week one, I think that's a mistake to not even want to utilize that guy's athletic traits. If you had a great quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, I would get it. But try to get your best 11 football players on the field and your most dynamic playmakers, and he's absolutely one of them. So I would have packages for the Atlanta game. I guess I might not want to work on them now and tip my hand, but
I'd want short yardage stuff that involves him, and I'd want red zone stuff primarily. And maybe like one set of plays that can be, because you hear all the time, offensive coordinators talk about stuff they can run like inside the 30s or between the 30s.
But
I'd want one thing for the middle of the field.
I don't even need it just at the goal line. I would, this doesn't have to be a quote wildcat package, but just a wrinkle every now and then in a game to just throw off the defense and also force them to get ready for that package every week.
I will say, though, as I'm like trying to think anecdotally about this, I feel like it never works as well as you want it to. Here comes Justin.
I got Miami to the playoffs that year, Chris, and Tony
has
Soprano.
Tony Sperano.
Sperano, I mean.
Has it ever really worked since? That was like a true novelty. Has it ever really, has stuff like
yeah,
that
but this
ever
is
really
not,
worked?
Well, I mean, Slash did to some degree.
But I would give those Steelers a lot of credit for making that work, and I think Stewart himself for just being like really, really gifted and ahead of his
time.
Well,
so was Fields, though, Chris. From a pure athlete standpoint,
he's how many times? So if he's obviously not going to start week one, how many times should he touch the ball in week one? How many plays should the ball be put in Justin Fields' hands?
Between 5 and 10.
Okay, you and I are on the same page then. Ultimately, I think that's the right number.
Who's a better runner of the football, Justin Fields or Najee Harris?
Justin Fields.
I don't even think it's close. He averaged 7 yards a carry 2 years ago.
Justin Fields and almost every running back in the.
Well, we finally had the trade. Buckle up. Pull over.
I'm seated. I suggest everyone listening
turn
be
the
seated.
Volume up.
Get ready.
Pittsburgh.
Strap in.
Is getting.
What was that noise?
Brandon. Cody Glass.
What sport does Cody Glass
Cody
play?
Cody Glass. Donnie, do you know who Cody Glass plays for?
Who he did play for. The Predators.
Guys,
of the National Hockey League.
Cody Glass traded to the Penguins moments ago, according to Elliot Friedman.
41 games. 6 scintillating goals. 7 thrilling assists. 13 points and a -9. His hockey reference picture makes him look like he could be a fan producer. He looks so young. He's 20.
My God. He's
25. He looks like a child. He does. Does he not?
He's a bigger guy, though.
I know. He's not a small man. He's 6'3". He's like almost 210.
He has a claim to fame. He will forever be the answer to a trivia question. Cody Glass, believe it or not.
Who was the first ever actual draft pick by Vegas?
Bingo. First draft pick in Vegas Knights history.
Whammy.
2 years ago, he scored 14 goals.
Oh, good for him.
We have no idea what's going back to the Penguins in this deal. I have no sources on this one.
He's going back to the Penguins.
We have no idea who's going back to Nashville in this deal.
It's actually Brandon Ayuk, believe it or not.
Your brother-in-law on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Always been a Cody Glass fan. Might be the writing on the wall for Lars Eller, though. Another center is certainly curious. I mean, I've met your brother-in-law, Noah, several times.
Very nice kid.
He's roamed the earth as a Cody Glass fan for some time.
I'm going to quote tweet
always.
Him.
At no point was your brother-in-law not a Cody Glass fan. From the found out of Cody Glass's existence, he said, I'm a fan of this guy and may have been privately yearning for him to join the Penguins at some point. And here we are on August 13th and he's getting his wish.
All right, I'm going
to
write.
You might have to send him a text message. Hey, Noah, congratulations on all your success. Everyone else, 99.99999% of Pittsburgh sports fans wanted Brandon Ayuk. You, however, you were holding out hope the entire time for Cody Glass, and guess what? You got what you wanted, not the other way around.
I'm quote-tweeting him right now with, in quotes, always been a Cody Glass fan, should get you put on a watch list, bro. Good with that? That appropriately dismissive enough?
I mean, we all have our idiosyncrasies and we all have our freak behavior as fans, but that's a pretty big one. Always been a fan of the 25-year-old random-ass player
that the Penguins just acquired. The Steelers to get Ayuk, too, I believe. I mean, he is pretty hot to trot about that.
But let's be very open and honest, though. If your brother-in-law had to choose between one, Cody Glass or Brandon Ayuk. We know he's getting that Glass jersey.
He's got a bunch of Cody Glass trades. Or tweets, I mean. He's got like, there's breaking news about like a bus
just a barrage of
hitting
glass.
A house. And he goes, driver must have been reading a tweet about the Cody Glass trade.
This is from Sports Forecaster. They are a hockey scouting website. They describe Glass as a talented, inconsistent forward with untapped upside. So the Penguins are looking to tap into this.
He's a talented forward whose upside has been totally tapped. What you see is what you get.
Did not play in the Predators playoff series against Vancouver. He was a scratch for that. And now he's joining the Penguins. And Donnie, when we were walking down the hall to start the show, said, hey, do you think we get a big trade while we're on the air?
And what did you say to him? Yeah, I think Cody Glass is coming to Pittsburgh, big dog.
Donnie, you should just at 6 o'clock say, all right, I'm just opening up the phone lines. Let's go.
Cody Glass.
412-928-9370.
Your thoughts on Cody Glass.
And then 5 minutes later, I'll say, oh, look, our second biggest fan, Jeff in South Park.
I don't know
hello,
if he
Jeff.
Will. He's
you don't
usually...
think Jeff has a take on this?
I don't think he listens to the 6
he shuts
o'clock
the radio
window.
Down at 6.
Even though he's like, I like Donnie, he's like, I do family stuff after the show's over.
Like, do you think...
He might catch Donnie on the
do
app.
Do you think right now, if we just sent out the bat signal and said, hey, Jeff, call in with a Cody Glass take, 412-928-9370. It's 520.
I will see his number pop up by 522.
By 522.
I think he might play hard to get here because he knows we're putting this out there. I think we
I
might
want
have
it.
To...
Give me a if there's a human being out there who's
doesn't
such a big Penguins
Jeff.
Fans, we've been dying for a trade analysis segment.
You're just
going
to give somebody the floor for Cody Glass.
Well, specifically, I'd like to roll out the red carpet for Jeff. He is
Jeff
our
7 minutes
two
ago.
Fan and a diehard Penguins fan.
Well, he was listening to your tease because 7 minutes ago, LMAO, you guys are such a-holes. I, for one, welcome our new bottom six right-handed centerman. So he knew that your trade thing was just a Cody Glass tease and that everyone else might be getting hoodwinked. He knew.
King Gursky is saying that this is pretty much just the Penguins taking somebody's contract, like a bad deal. He said, clearly Dubas didn't seek out Cody Glass to help the lineup. That's never a good way to start.
With a $2.5 million cap hit, the story isn't Glass, but what Nashville will include to take him. Pens will have about $1 to $1.3 million in cap space after the deal. Is $2.5 million a third rounder?
So that's what we're just doing now? We're just taking on lousy...
bad deals by other teams?
This was not exactly when the Rappaport thing went out and Kabali started tweeting yeet. This is not...
My
really how I viewed
has
us spending the 5 o'clock hour of the show. Oh, he has. With
he
more,
says,
I thought
will, he, says,
he actually has bullets
right
left in his... In
he
the
says,
whole...
I will call right now.
Honestly, I don't need Noah to call in because he's rattled off like 15 tweets on this. I have everything I need from him. His take on this trade, his bona fides on Cody Glass
how
are
do we
very
feel
much
about,
out in the open.
How do we feel about Noah pretending to be or doing a half-assed job of pretending to be Kyle Dubas on Twitter? His display name is Kyle Dubas, and his picture is Kyle Dubas. His bio also suggests that he wants people to believe he is Kyle Dubas.
Has he tricked people by like announcing a trade, like I've traded for blah blah blah?
No, his Twitter bio: I am GM.
Like when Cook thought that he had breaking Steelers trade news that Levi Wallace was getting dealt to the Bears, and it was like for a 1997 Honda Accord. Remember that one, Don?
That's a great one. Yeah, they got on Matt Cole's case.
Oh, that is
Folesy. Where were you? This is an hour ago.
That is
Did
one of the
breaking news on the Steelers.
What happened?
This is an hour ago. What are you doing back there, Matt?
Folesy.
Adam Schefter reporting the Steelers have traded Levi Wallace to the Bears. Bears receive Levi Wallace and a 2024 second round pick. Steelers receive. Schefter.
Is it from the real Schefter?
No.
You guys,
fire back, Folesy. Fire back at Ron. Come on, Ron.
I don't know what's wrong.
I remember going and finding that tweet, and I don't think I've ever laughed harder on the air than when I got to like a used 1997 Honda Accord and whatever else was in there. Oh, that one killed me.
I don't know what's up with this guy, but he called in a minute late. Here's our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. What's up?
Hello, Jeff.
Can you give us Cody Glass trade analysis?
I guess if you really want to be glass half full, you could say that all these younger guys that they have for the bottom six, O'Connor, Pustinen, Glass, Poulin, Puljarvi, Beauvillier, they're probably going to push either Achari or Eller out, I would think. So I think a trade is probably going to happen when
we
no longer have one of those
guys. Why do we
want
to push Eller out? I like Eller.
But what about being glass half empty, Jeff? Because I feel like that's where this is all going.
Well, if it's glass half empty, then it's totally a nothing move. But I kind of wanted to be like Mr. Kent Brockman from The Simpsons. And I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords. Only
isn't
in this
Ken
case,
Brockman
sorry.
The guy on The Simpsons who announced that the Lincoln squirrel had been shot?
Yes, same guy, yes.
You yes. guys, I think, have unearthed the two of you that you are both big Simpsons honks.
What was
well,
the...
kind of like how you and Donnie go back and forth about wrestling.
Oh, sure.
And me and Pony just kind of sit there and go, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. I think Pony and I have a similar repertoire where Donnie and you kind of sit there and go, maybe not. So
I was
much
not allowed
Chris,
to watch The Simpsons.
Donnie.
I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons. My parents, I think, thought it would kind of corrupt my brain.
All right, what is Jeff
and
Sal?
And how far TV has come in the last 30 years, because I remember that being a whole ordeal at the time as well.
What is Jeff and South Park's trade grade for Cody Glass?
I mean, C-minus, I guess.
C-minus, there you have
it. I don't know what we're giving up for him. I think okay. It might be one of those things.
You're on the record.
It might be one of those things where they actually give us something
we're,
to take
We're
his
holding
contract.
You to it. C-minus, Jeff and South Park. Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Goodbye.
I actually loved his, dismissive, faintly amused tone there.
Mike's Beer Bar is fan beer of the month is brought to you. Or what am I doing here? Mike's
what
fan beer of the month
here?
Is the Alter Genius Rescue Kulsh benefiting Crisis Center North. Go try it out today. All right, coming up next, it is the Bucko Minute. It is not the Aiyuk Minute because we still don't have an Aiyuk deal. So you know what that means.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Aiyuks of our lives.
I'm thinking of who the cast would be for this show. It's me, John Lynch.
We know who's playing
Omar
Tomlin.
Omar Khan.
Omar Epps.
Who plays me?
Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins is 70, Chris.
Okay, so I got to come up with somebody who looks like you, who's young. Who plays Donnie?
You think Donnie gets in it?
Yeah.
I think the guy from...
Horatio Sands.
The guy from Dogma.
Kevin Smith?
Yeah. He's lost weight.
Who plays
just like
me?
Donnie.
Jason Statham? Bill Burr?
No, he's way too funny.
Oh, thanks. Jackass. Bill Burr would play our boss, Craig.
No, because that's a huge flex for Craig because he's obsessed with him.
I know, but he looks like him still.
Who would play Craig?
Well, no, he's dead.
Kenan Thompson?
I was going to say Gilbert Gottfried.
This is the Bucko Minute. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for half a century. Pirates had the longest losing streak in baseball. I stayed up to watch every out of that game last night. I then watched Rob King and McHenry on the postgame. And then I listened to Jeff and Kevin Young and callers on the postgame. Yeah. That's devotion right there, folks. I was into it last night.
And what was your big takeaway from all of that?
I like the fans' perspective. I like the... You know what I heard last night? Listen to that show with Jeff. I heard resignation. I heard the fan, Donnie brings this up all the time on his Bucko show, that Donnie has this, hope springs eternal button in him as a Pirates fan that he hits every now and then to remind him that, better days are ahead or they'll get it figured out.
Yes.
And I sense that some Pirates fans also try to keep their sanity by doing the same.
Button's broken?
Yeah. Lost the button. Button breakdown.
Keep pressing the button, doesn't work. You did that. I fell asleep with a dose of NyQuil while watching old clips of the movie Ocean's 11. We are not the same.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, man. So slick. Donnie, you have to have even seen Ocean's 11.
There's an old one, and then they made a newer one, right?
Well, there's the old Ocean's 11 with, Sinatra and all those guys. And then there's the one with Pitt and Clooney and the big ensemble cast, Julia Roberts, etc. Dude, you'd love it. Honestly, you would. It's so slick. The movie flies by. Very cleverly written. I'm not saying it needed to win Best Picture. It's just very entertaining. Ocean's 12, skip. Ocean's 13, solid.
Haven't heard
middle.
From Mackie. Maybe he is in the process of breaking an Aiyuk trade.
What if he was doing a big 800-word column on the guy whose name I already forgot? Glass? What's his first name?
Cody Glass.
Cody Glass.
Remember Tanner Glass? They've cornered the market on Glass, the Penguins.
Now, is this guy injured a lot?
They also had Bo Bennett, who was made of it, so...
Like the Mr. Glass from what, Unbreakable? Another movie?
I've seen that with Bruce Willis.
Haven't seen. I know the deal, though.
Before we go to Jason, would you like to hear Starkey and Shelton having a lover's quarrel?
I think some people might quibble with that. I think as to whether you've been playing good or bad baseball, it's certainly been competitive. I don't think anybody would question your team's competitive spirit, but when you look at some of the games, whether it's pitches they would want back or the O'Neill Cruz game in Houston, I think there have been plenty of examples of bad baseball. Would you disagree with that?
I don't know. I mean, your definition of bad baseball may be different than my definition of bad baseball. We haven't executed. You know, I think that's fair to say. You know, the Cruzy game, and, you know, we can point at that, and I think that's really a bad analogy. The kid had a bad game, you know, and then he bounced back the next day and had five hits. So I think there's been some things we have not executed. I think that's probably more fair.
This sounds like Bill Clinton arguing about the definition of sex.
That depends on what your definition of is.
They've lost eight in a row. They had a game where...
Did you hear the little sigh in Shelton's voice when Joe even asked the question?
They had a game where they lost because in one inning... three plays weren't made, and they all went off dude's gloves.
Correct.
So Jason Mackey did a great job covering the Pirates for the Post-Gazette. Now he's writing columns and wrote one the other day about how if this keeps up, what's going to happen to guys like Shelton? Jason, let's just start with that argument between those two. Are the Pirates playing bad baseball? Who's right, Shelton or Joe? And you have to pick one.
Joe. And hello, Andrew.
Hi.
I don't know how you could sit here and say they're not playing bad baseball. Win or lose, they're not winning. And eight in a row is a loss, or it's a lot of losses. No, they're not playing good baseball right now. And I think that's one reason that I think Shelton rubs some people the wrong way at times is they want them to admit what they can see, and it hasn't been good enough. And I think in his heart of hearts, Shelton knows that. I also understand probably where Shelty's coming from and that he doesn't want to throw his players under the bus. So. I don't know.
But he didn't have a problem
except Colin Holderman. Yeah, I was going
to
say Holderman, he can lay under
fire.
I know. That. Honestly, guys, that was one of the only times I've ever heard. Might be the only time.
Why do you
I've
think
ever
that
heard
was?
Him.
Like, there's got to be a hypothesis for why a guy, as you correctly pointed out, never likes to do that. Why, in that one instance, he just backed the bus over him over and over again.
You know what? This is completely me theorizing, Malzi. But
yeah,
like,
I'm not
if he
asking
could do
for
it over
like,
again,
hard and fast.
Yeah, no, I don't think he would say that if he could do it over again. I think it's probably a mistake on his part. I think he would probably rather say, I mean,
he was like the band Asia.
There,
he was caught in the heat of the moment.
The truthful answer there was, I messed up. I made a bad decision. And why he didn't say that, I don't know. It's probably just, I mean, he's not wrong. It's not wrong. Like, Holderman has to make a better pitch. Holderman has to pitch better. Like, all of that stuff's true. He just generally doesn't say it.
So if we are all three of us in agreement here, ultimately, with Starkey, that they're not playing good baseball, maybe competitive, but not good, how does this stretch here of play where they have lost all these games and fallen into last place, how do you think it reflects on Shelton with his bosses?
I think it depends on how they come out of it, Chris. Not good would be the answer I'd give you. But, I mean, I think everybody in Pittsburgh wants to know, or you're asking the question. I think it's fair. Like, you know, do you do something with Shelton? Is this okay? Is he going to sign off on this? And like, if things are blowing up around him and Shelton's going, no, it's fine. We're playing good baseball. Nothing's wrong here. Like, I think his bosses are going to take that in a very bad way, and they're not going to be happy with it. Like, I guarantee you, the people that sign Shelton's checks are not like thrilled with the baseball they're playing. I can't imagine that people there are happy with it. I understand why Shelty's going to say what he says on the radio show and whatever. I'm talking about private conversations. So, like, I mean, there's a lot of belief in Derek Shelton. I've said this with you guys. I've said this with anybody that, like, they really like him. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to get him out of there. But, like, if this all goes to hell and Shelty's sitting there saying everything's fine, we're playing good baseball, we're competitive, like, I don't think that's going to I don't think that's going to play. But, again, we just don't know. We need to see how they respond, how they finish the season before any of that can be truly effective.
How much do you think the new contract he signed with the team would factor into their decision-making at the end of the year?
I don't. I don't think that's would factor in one bit, Andrew. I mean, Nutting paid, I think, what, $18 million or something like that to get rid of the guys before, you know, because he didn't like the direction they were going. 1 year of Derek Shelton, I don't think it would be it. Now, again, like I said,
is it 1 year?
I'm not saying that. I'm not reporting it as fact, but that's the understanding with which I operate most times. That, like, 1 year, after next year, is the general thing that I think I understand to be true. Again, I'm not reporting that as fact. Please don't quote tweet me saying Jason Mackey said this. It's just how I tend to operate.
Why do you feel like you have to put that warning out there?
What do you mean?
The one about you not quote tweet him not quote tweeting it, Jason. You don't have to answer that one.
Tweet something, and I'll get slammed for it, and then I'll get a phone call from some. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yes, we do. I have a question that we haven't even broached about this in any of our discussions today on the air about the Pirates, and that's this. You said it's how they come out of this losing streak. Let's say this losing streak, though, continues to grow and by five more games, God forbid. But let's say it just drops them way out of the race so they're not even in it. They can't say they're in it. What happens with Paul Skeens then?
I think they shut him down. I do. I've said this before that I think they want to keep him pitching. They want to stay competitive, and they don't want to have to shut him down. But I think in your hypothetical, Chris, like if this gets really bad.
If they lose five more games and they're 56 and 67, which would encompass one more of his starts, you're telling me at that point they might well pull
the ripcord? No, I don't.
Shut him down if they were out of it? Like how far into September? Would it be September?
2 weeks left. Okay. 3 weeks left. Like, okay. I think it's one of those, if you know, you know.
But they're not going to manipulate it so he loses the rookie of the year. The reason I ask is
if he pitches well and pitches till 2 weeks are left in the season and he's good, he's going to finish top two in rookie of the year. But I think, like, it has to come into people's minds maybe, I'm just saying among fans, that if they pulled the plug early on him and he had one or two more so-so starts between now and that point, he might fall out of the top two of the rookie of the year, which would then nullify that gained year of service time.
No, I, you know how I said earlier about operating, you know, Shelton, the extension 1 year, whatever. Like, there's a general thought, I think, around the team that, like, he's going to win rookie of the year. Like, they're not worried about his service time is the point I'm trying to make.
All right.
Like, they're not going to do anything. Only reason they'd pull the plug, Chris, honestly, and I think, it wouldn't be a good outcome, but, I mean, it would be over volume of innings. And if you just said, man, this stinks, we're out of it, would rather preserve his arm. That's the decision I'm talking about. You wouldn't make that until about 2 weeks left.
I have a list of Pirates, and I want you to tell me if you think they'll be on the opening day roster in 2025.
All right, let's do it.
Henry Davis.
No.
Andrew McCutchen.
Yes.
Aroldis Chapman.
No.
David Bednar.
Yes.
Rowdy Tellez.
No.
Key Brian Hayes.
Yes.
Malzi, am I forgetting anybody?
Jack Sawinski.
Sawinski's a good one.
No.
All right.
Is Joey Bart the Pirates' opening day catcher next year?
I think so.
Is Andy Rodriguez going to be like given kind of the O'Neill Cruz? Hey, you had a whole year you missed, so we're going to kind of. They didn't baby steps Cruz back into the lineup, obviously, but you think they're going to have the same basic outlook on Andy? As far as he's barely played as a big leaguer, we're not going to ask a ton out of him, or we're going to be ultra patient if he struggles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Andy's or that O'Neill is a good comp for Andy. Like O'Neill had accomplished more. Andy's got a sub 600 OPS. Like he's going to have to earn.
That makes him fit right in. I mean, he's good with most of these guys. Then.
Yeah, the only one on that list, guys, that I feel I hem and haw a little bit is Henry Davis.
We heard the hemming.
Well, it goes back to Joey Bart. I think Joey Bart's going to be their number one catcher, certainly. But they're in a pickle with what they do with Davis. And, I mean, do you carry him as a backup? I don't know. Do you try to shoehorn him into the outfield? I don't know. Do you try to play him in another position? I don't know. Like, I don't see how he fits. But, like, we're talking about the 2021 number one overall pick in 2025. Like,